ladies, that was a blessing. And I love songs that just really point to the heart of the issue. It's really what it comes down to. I mean, we've got a lot of things that come through our life, a lot of different ideas, and you know about what are we supposed to do, where are we supposed to go. But when it comes down to it, if we just give Him everything, you know, we'll be on the right track. That's what God wants more than anything, is surrender and just willingness. So thank you, ladies, for that. Let's go ahead and open the Word of God to Colossians chapter number 1 this morning. Colossians chapter number 1. We're starting a series on February 19th, or 19th, yes, after the I Love My Church banquet, we'll begin a series in Genesis. But until then, the Lord has laid a few messages on my heart that I just want to share with you, that the Lord would use this time to help us just to know, to get on the same page, so that when we approach this year together, we will all be together, we'll be in unity, we'll be all equipped and prepared to do what the Lord has for us to do. And, you know, one of the book of Colossians is very unique. There's as it says in chapter number 2 and verse number 1, where that's not our text, but it indicates from in chapter number 2, verse number 1, that Paul had never met the Colossian people. This was a new introduction here as well. And so for many of you, that's kind of what we're going through right now as a church and as a pastor. But it was amazing, this the spirit of unity that can be, even when people have never met, if they have the unifying knowledge of Jesus Christ as our Savior. And so we're going to focus on how we might grow together so that we might be equipped and ready for the call that God has put upon us and has before us. So we're going to begin in Colossians chapter number 1. We're actually going to read verses 1 through down through verse number 11. Colossians chapter 1, verse 1 through verse 11. And if you are able and willing, I would ask that you would stand in the honor of the reading of the Word of God. I have nothing to say here that is of any importance, but the Word of God, it can speak to us and it can change us if we'll allow it. So Colossians chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 1, says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and get this, and of the love which ye have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us, get this, your love in the Spirit. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And here's the verse I really want to focus our attention on in verse number 11. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Ask the Lord to bless the reading of his word. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for you. Ask that you would bless this time we spend in your word. Pray that you'd speak to hearts and be glorified in our midst, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. The more I started reading this verse and really dwelling upon it, I came to this conclusion that it doesn't make a lot of sense. This is the kind of verse where you just don't expect all these things to be able to coincide. I started thinking about the attributes and the things about this verse that really define what is happening here. What is Paul really wishing upon the brethren at Colossae? He's wishing that they would be strengthened with all might. So strength. I mean, we all, I don't know about you, but when I grew up on superhero stories, back when they were not the multi-billion dollar industry they are today. You know, and it was just, man, you didn't have the movies to entertain. All you had was your imagination. I mean, who remembers the first time they Supermaned off their bed? You know, it's just, I mean, yes, they're with me. I'm not the only one. But that was, I mean, that was it. Man, we wanted the strength of a superhero. It was exciting to know that, oh man, to be able to do things that you wouldn't think possible. Oh, but it's exciting, that strength, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. See, and with every superhero, there was an origin story. There was always a story of how they got their power. What set them apart? And you think about the greatest power beyond any imagination or any story that could be imagined is the power of our most holy and almighty God. And according to his glorious power, can you fathom that? That is what God is speaking through the Apostle Paul and wishing upon this group at Colossae, is that they would be strengthened with the might of the most powerful source in all the universe. I mean, that's mind-blowing. I mean, if we had that kind of strength, nothing would be impossible, right? I mean, you think about it. We're talking about strength. So why doesn't he stop there? In fact, I'm going through the book of Colossians. I memorized it when I was in high school and haven't really gone back to it since. So I'm trying to refresh it. And I've recently just I've been repeating Colossians chapter 1. It's really been an emphasis this month. In the past few months, I've been trying to get it down. And whenever I get to this verse, I always feel like there needs to be a period after strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Amen. You just want to stop there, because if we got strength according to his glorious power, what more do we need? But it's interesting, he doesn't stop there. He said that power is for a specific purpose. It's unto all patience and long suffering. See, that seems like, why would I need patience and long suffering if I've got all power and all strength? If I'm strengthened with all might, why do I need patience or long suffering? So he could have made everything. He could have created everything we see in one literal breath. He could have said, let it be. And everything that was in his mind would have popped into an existence. And yet he did it in an order. He took 6 literal days. He made sure that certain things were done to show us who he is. It's not that he couldn't have just snapped his fingers or spoke a word and everything would have been simultaneously exactly as he wished it to be. But he took time because he was telling us something about himself, that he is a God of patience. And although he is more than able to just snap his fingers and make everything as he wishes it to be, he's a very patient and long-suffering God as well. And if we are going to have his might, we have to understand, even if we're strengthened with all might, we need patience. We need long suffering. You may be at the mountaintop of your spiritual life, and you just know I had devotions this morning. I'm on fire for God. I mean, I can't remember a time. Maybe you're saying, I can't remember a time when I was closer to the Lord than I am right now. Praise God. Amen. That's not going to last for the rest of your life. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer, but that's just, our lives are up and down. Because even when we're strengthened with the might of the Holy Spirit and an all-powerful God, we as humans have a tendency to rush it, to use that might for things God does not intend us to use it for. And when that happens, it diminishes the power that he has put upon us. Because when God strengthens us, he always strengthens us unto something. It's his purpose. It's his power. We just get to be strengthened by it. But we still have to use it for his purposes. And so we had come to this point where we realize, okay, we can't just be strengthened with all might and one time, one and done, okay? Because the Lord knows that if that was the case, if the day you came to Christ, you had the strength to just, and you were, there were no more ups and downs in life, everything was perfect, you would never learn to rely on him. Everybody would come to him. If all I have to do is say a prayer and then everything's good from the evidence would be, it would be self-evident everywhere. I've just got to say, God would become like a wishing well. He would become like a genie in a lamp. And that diminishes God. No, God wants us to know him in all his fullness. And that is a God who is, although his strength, his might and his strength is infinite, he desires a relationship with flawed people. And he understands for that you need a lot of patience. You need a lot of patience. This is a new relationship. We're going to find out things about each other we didn't know when we agreed to this relationship. And it's not always going to be things that inspire us with joy and love, and it's going to need patience and long suffering. But I'm thankful we have that strength. We are strengthened with all might to be able to have that patience and long suffering. So you see, even though you may be strengthened with all might, there still is a need to have that patience and long suffering, even though it seems like somewhat of an oxymoron. Because if you're really strengthened with all might, shouldn't you have the strength to do it immediately? It's not the way God's strength works. We need patience. We need long suffering. Then here it says, it continues that there's still one more term there. That verse does not end with just unto all patience and long suffering. As if it wasn't hard enough to reconcile strength and patience and long suffering, he adds joyfulness with joyfulness. So you're going to get all power, but you can't use it the way you want to. You've got to be patient and long suffering, and you got to be happy about it. I mean, there's nothing more frustrating to me than when something I think I have figured out and it should work the way it's supposed to, and then it doesn't. Oh, I mean, you know, if you think, okay, if you're given a key to the building, we bought a house a few years ago when we were stuck out of Russia for a little bit. For those who don't know, I was a missionary in Russia before the war happened, and we came here, and the Lord has led us to this point. But when we came back from Russia, we were stuck here because of COVID. We got a house that we were able to purchase, and the keys to the house, there was one key that went to every single lock except one. Oh, and that frustrated me. So I'm like, why? Because I long ago, the first day, I lost that one key because I never used it, you know. So that's, and I'm like, why would there be, everything works the same except for one outlier. Oh, and that frustrates me. I'm like, it's so convenient to have everything working as it should and then have one little exception. You know, there's some big families here. You know that one brother or sister who's that one exception, right? I mean, I'm sorry. I don't know where that came from. But that was, but we have this, there's this desire. Okay, if it works, if it doesn't work like it's supposed to, we tend to get frustrated. And patience and long suffering, okay, that helps us cope with it. I would think that it should be enough to understand, okay, we have all power and all strength from God. But, okay, he's put the disclaimer, it's got to be with patience and long-suffering. Okay, I can handle that. But he doesn't say you just do it because I said so, or just accept it. He said be happy about it. Be joyful about it. Be joyful about the fact that God isn't fixing everything right away. Be joyful about the fact that God is who he is. And he doesn't do it the way we want. And he isn't always who we want him to be. He is always who we need him to be. So we need to understand that there's a joyfulness that needs to be added to this. And sometimes that can be the hardest part. Because I'm one of those people. I don't know if there are others in here as well. But I'm pretty easygoing. You know, my wife might say different, but, you know, I'm up here. So we're going to say that I'm a pretty easygoing guy. You know, it takes a lot to really get me. It's funny because tangent, I'm sorry, I've got to take it now. But, little things will make me very, very. But if it's big stuff, it doesn't really bother me. I mean, I tend to roll with the punches when it comes to that thing. Now, like I said, little things like internet not working when it should. That they're just little things They'll get me in the flesh. But you know, yes, you have a pastor who is not perfect. I would be the first to admit it. But there is I'm pretty easygoing, and so it's easy for me when things happen, big things happen. I'm like, okay, I can just deal with it. I'm not happy about it, but I can deal with it. But God says that's not good enough. No, if you want to be verse 11 here, which is the culmination of what God through the Apostle Paul are desiring for his church at Colossae. And that is that they would have this strength unto all patience and long suffering, but that they would be joyful about the fact that God doesn't always do things the way they want him to do it. Oh, when that really hit me, the truth of that verse, I said, oh, I just can't be okay with it. Because sometimes we can get, when we see people flip out about stuff and they're just going, oh, I'm like, you know what? I feel pretty good because that didn't affect me like that. You know, this is Washington, but in Russia, I tell you what, I mean, you thought people could get angry on the roads driving with each other here in this country. I mean, every YouTube video you've ever seen about something doing something completely off the wall came from Russia. You know, if you've lived in Russia, you know. I just have to see the shape of the license plate. And I know, okay, yeah, I know where this is going. And I know what he's going to do. And I drove with those people. I drove with them for like 6 years. It was an exercise of faith and patience every single day. I got to see some things that, oh man, I did not even think it was possible to enter the mind of an individual to try that, and they did it. And it's just that, but I mean, you think about it, there's just these people, I mean, people just get up in arms and they'll get so infuriated on the road. And I feel that and I see that. And I'm like, yeah, I don't react that way. I feel pretty good about the fact that I just handled it okay. You know, yeah, I thought the same things, but I didn't get out and pull that person out of their car and start, you know, taking it out on them. Like I've seen happen multiple times. And it's just, so you can start to think, and when you're seeing the world not handling life well, it can get easy. We can get to this point as believers, as Christians, to say, I'm just kind of apathetic towards it. I'm just kind of passive. See, I'm not in a flying into a rage like the heathen. And so I'm all right. But God doesn't want us to just be okay. Because godliness with contentment is great gain. Yes, we need to be content. But he doesn't just stop at even contentment. He says, no, we need to have joy. Contentment is, in fact, it has joy built into the definition of it. Contentment isn't just being, okay, I really wanted that, but I can resign. I can deal with that. That's not what contentment is. Contentment is actively embracing what God has given for you, knowing this is what God has for me, and saying, God, because your will is taking place in my life, I have joy. I'm loving it. You know, that is godliness with contentment. That is the with joyfulness here that we see. Paul, he so wanted this group at Colossae to have this maturity in Christ. To be able to say, listen, I've seen a reason to believe that you are capable of great things. And this is your map to get there. As you read that verse, I mean, I read that verse, and even I, you know, I grew up in the ministry. I've been around the things of the Lord pretty much my whole life. I read that verse and tried to match it up with my life, and I said, wow, how could anybody get to that point? Or with strengthened with all might unto all patience. It's not just strengthened to some might, it's strengthened with all might. And it's just not unto some patience, unto all patience with joyfulness. I mean, this is a very high standard. This is a godly, if I had met somebody and said, yeah, you're Colossians 1:11, that's them. I mean, mark that man, because I have not seen somebody who is consistently that all the time. I've seen, sure, glimpses and snippets of it. I've experienced it in my own life. But to know somebody who's consistently with all patience and long suffering, completely yielded to the strength of God with joyfulness all the time, I mean, that's a hard ask. You know, what it comes back to is that it's strengthened with his might. See, when we look at this, oftentimes we look at the end result and we say, I need to be this, and we try to do it with our own power. But we mentioned it early on, whose power is it? Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. You see, we can't do this with our might because it doesn't make sense. I look at this verse and I say, I can't make myself do that. There are things that I have to do that are impossible to do. It's like you can't be standing and walking at the same time. It's not humanly possible. Because if you're walking, you're walking. If you're standing, you're okay. This has got, okay, some of us are asleep. That's base level stuff, you know, that we can't be doing two things at the same time. I can't be flying and swimming at the same time because it doesn't work. It does not compute. I can't have all strength, all patience, and be joyful at the same time. It doesn't work with the makeup of a human being. It is not humanly possible. Thankfully, it's according to his glorious power that he has done within us. In order for that to take place, there has to be a supernatural change within you. There was a reason that the Apostle Paul put this desire before them. There was a reason, and we see it in verse number 9 where we read this. He said, for this cause we also. His desire was for a cause. He didn't just go to every Christian that he met along the way. Oh, you believe in Jesus? I want you to be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience with long suffering with joyfulness. He didn't just say that to everybody. There was a cause that he for which that is something he saw in these people that told him, these people are capable of great things because they're on the right path. They're not doing this in their own power. They're not just turning over a new leaf. They're not just trying something new. They have embraced God, and they have embraced the power of Christ Jesus, and they are on the path to becoming this individual who can be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power because they have the right beginning. The right beginning, the right source, it matters. He looked at, see, he heard something from Epaphras that cued him into these believers, even though he had never met them. There was something in Epaphras when he relayed the story about these believers in Colossae that told him, there is something special going on here. They have the potential to be something great. What was that thing? What was this cause we also? And we see in verse number 9. Well, you have to go back to verse number 8. What did Epaphras hear? What did Epaphras relay? Who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. He also gives us a clue a little bit more in depth in verse number 4. That they gave thanks. Well, in verse 3, they gave thanks to God, praying for them. What was the cause? For since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. Love to all the saints, love in the Spirit. That was what the Apostle Paul detected in Epaphras' testimony of these people. When he saw that they had love to each other, because this was the time of the Romans, let's be honest, people didn't just love each other for no reason. They used each other a lot. They would form into groups when it was to their advantage or to their benefit. But to just love each other, I mean, this was raw. The beginnings of capitalism and democracy. These are people finally realizing, if I make the right alliances, if I do the right things, I can get ahead. And it was a very selfish society. Everything that we know about the history of that time was this. It was the time when the individual was coming into their own. And they were knowing, I can have an impact. I can do things for myself that will benefit me. So what was very lacking in society was a love to each other. A selfless love. That's what he means by love in the Spirit. It wasn't just a love. Yeah, well, I like hanging out with you. So as long as we have a good relationship, let's just continue to enjoy each other's company. That wasn't what this was. This was love in the Spirit. It meant people that should not be together, that should not be in unity, loving each other. That's what he saw. That's what he heard. I can just imagine the wonder and the joy with which Epaphras is describing the situation in Colossae to the Apostle Paul. He's telling them about it. I mean, the Colossian Christians made such an impact on Epaphras that when he told just his testimony to the Apostle Paul, caused the Apostle Paul to be inspired by the Holy Spirit to write a letter to them to make sure, don't lose this, because it is so important that you love each other in the Spirit. It is something special. And if you'll continue in that path, you will make it to this point where things that are humanly impossible to be together will be present in your spirit and in your life. And you will be able to be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, into all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. What a blessing. They had love in the Spirit. Be honest, when we first came here, started candidating for this church, I started praying about whether or not this would be something the Lord would have us to do. Because my heart, I'll be honest, when we first came here, my heart was still very much hoping that Russia, something would happen, Russia would open, we could get back there. Because man, there was a church there who, they had love in the Spirit. Man, I wanted to be back there. I wanted to see what God would do with that. To be able to watch something grow. Because as a missionary, I visit a lot of churches, and not all of them have that. I can't describe to you certain churches I've been to with the joy that I have been with people who love. They have love for the saints and love each other in the Spirit. I can't always say that. And I'll tell you, when we came here and the Lord started to knit our heart together with you, this is what it was. This was the turning point in my heart. And I knew, okay, that we got to be here. This is what God would have for us. Because there is love in the Spirit. If there was no love in the Spirit here, then what's the point of doing a theme, getting together and trying to, I mean, it's going to fall apart at the seams as soon as times get tough. But if there's love in the Spirit, we're going to stick by each other. We're going to have patience and long-suffering with each other together. And we're going to go forward and do something great for the cause of Christ. Not because we're anything great, but because when we have the love and the Spirit, we have access to the glorious power, which can strengthen us with all might. But you got to have that love in the Spirit. I saw that in the people that were here. It made me fall in love with you, because that's something about the love in the Spirit. It's contagious. If you've been here in this church for a while and you haven't detected that, well, I think for that, we need to go back to verse number 4. Because it says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. You see, you have to have faith in Christ Jesus first. You cannot possibly have love in the Spirit until you have faith in Christ Jesus. So maybe you've been visiting a few weeks and you just detect there's something going on here. These people, they don't seem to care where I came from, what I'm doing. There's love here. And it's a special kind of love. And I wholeheartedly believe that God gives us, from the moment we're born, a special sixth sense, if I can say that, for when God is working in a place. You know, but you will not fully understand what it is that you're missing. What it is that you can't quite put your finger on when you're in a place like this. You cannot fully understand that until you have faith in Christ Jesus. So maybe you're here and you've never truly accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Because the reason all of us have the love and the Spirit, the reason we have the Spirit of God is because there was a day for each one of us who have love and the Spirit, there was a day and we remember when the Lord changed our life, because we came to him. We heard of that he had sent his son to die on a cross for our sins. We heard that we were sinners and that a holy God could not accept sin into his presence. We understood there was nowhere we could turn. But then we heard the good news that through Jesus' death on the cross, he's buried, rose again the third day to show that he had power over sin and death. He offers freely to all people who would believe in him. We can know him as our personal Savior. He will forgive us of our sins, and we will have a home in heaven. What an amazing truth. You see, love in the Spirit is not possible unless we have the Spirit. And to have the Spirit, you have to have faith in Christ Jesus. So at this time, we're going to have a time of invitation.